Welcome back. Hour number two underway here. John King, our show producer right over there. I'm Peter Christian. On our guests in studio talking about the proposed Bitterroot Resort that just keeps getting slammed over and over again by the Forest Service. Bill Zader, Dick King. Before we get to Vivian, Dale, and Tom, and a Facebook comment, so tell us again what you're trying to accomplish with your group.
Sure, Peter. Our group, the supporters of a public Bitterroot Resort, simply are advocating to take the proposal that's clearly within the scope and the vision of the forest plan and move it to level two, which is the National Environmental Policy Act screening. The cost of that is paid for by the developer, so there's no taxpayer expense, and there will be ample opportunity for public to weigh in and comment on specific components of the project through that process. We're not saying that the special use permit should be approved now. We're saying let's move it to level two and engage and see what that results in.
So give it a shot.
Give basically. It a shot.
Do you know how much it costs?
There have been estimates that it's $2 to $3 million.
Wow. Well, and I guess we do have to pay for the bureaucrat
The private developer has to guarantee that it's called cost recovery.
Okay, let's get to the phones. And Vivian, thank you so much for holding. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead.
Good morning. I would like to say as a local resident of the Bitterroot Resort area there, we've been waiting for this resort to take place for years, and we welcome it with open arms. And, you know, it seems to me as though, as with any new development, even if it's just one house that wants to be built in a neighborhood, there will always be the neighbor that says, oh, I wish that house weren't being built.
It'll spoil my view, yeah.
And it is, people don't like change. And, you know, we live in an area that is offering us everything that we need to have an economy grow, and this is not a time for us to be putting our brakes on, but for us to move forward. And I can't thank you guys that are working on this enough, that you continue fervently and feverishly and thoughtfully to move forward. And it is a matter of letting us as the public know, so that whatever we can do to be of support, we would want to do that.
Vivian, thanks for your call. We got to move on. Thank you. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Real quick, Vivian was talking, you know, as from the viewpoint of us. Do you have the backing of the Ravalli County Commission, and is it possible for you to use the process of coordination to get this developed?
Yes, John. The commissioner sent a letter to the Forest Service, essentially saying that they supported this project wholeheartedly, and they wanted to see move it forward. And, you know, we've been amazed. We meet almost every Friday as a group. We have some 60 volunteers that represent thousands of environmentalists, businessmen and women, concerned citizens. And our group is to weed out and help try to bring some focus on what are the concerns of the community for this. And we think we've got a website that you can go to that is very inclusive of every document that we've found and covered and comments. And I think we've done a pretty good job on our end, we think.
What is the website?
It's Supporters for a Public Bitterroot Resort, www.supportersforbitterrootresort.com.
All right, let's get back to the phone. And Dale, you've been waiting. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Yeah, I got a couple questions that I hope I can squeeze in. First one, guys, which, by the way, thank you so much for what you're doing for all of us. But first one is, specifically, how do we all get involved to help move this project forward? That's my first question. And then my second question is to everybody listening, and that is, how long are you going to sit there and allow these people to continue to take these opportunities away from you? How long are you going to do it? Everybody listening has at least 10 friends. that can get involved and move this project forward. We have lost so many opportunities in Western Montana to get our businesses going again, to get people working again. And now we have something that 4,000 jobs and hundreds of millions of dollars in income to this area. And you can't sit there any longer and just say, well, that's just the way it is. There's nothing we can do. I am willing to get your 10 friends and put them together with my 10 and so on and so on and so on. Dale Moore at MSN.com. Email me. Go to, I'm sure these gentlemen are going to tell you specifically how you can get involved. But you've got to ask yourself, how long are you going to allow yourself to be pushed around? Please tell us how we can get involved today, not tomorrow, but today, to get this done.
Okay, Dale, we're up against a break. We'll have him do that right when we get back, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. All right. That's our good buddy, Dale. And we'll come right back, and you can talk about how folks can get involved. 721-1290 is our number. We have a Facebook comment coming right after this quick break. We'll be right back. Stop looking at me like that when I play this song, okay? 721. It's an autobiography. No, 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. You want to get that Facebook comment? Go ahead, John.
This is from Michael. He says, as long as you have a group of environmentalist losers running the Forest Service, you are never going to get anywhere with this project. So far, that post has one like. But it, I guess the question that kind of evolves out of this statement is, you know, who has the sway with the Forest Service to get this moved through? Do you believe that there's a state body, maybe the governor or someone that could get this through? Or is it really at the behest of one guy at the top of the Forest Service?
Well, that goes back to that first question from Dale about how do people get involved. So the more people that get involved, the more likely it is we can persuade a governor, the director of the Montana Department of Commerce, our congressional delegation, to take a real hard look at this and understand what we're saying about the opportunity for our region. How do they get involved? I have Dale Moore's email.
All right.
I will add him to our list. So anybody that wants to get involved, just contact us. They can go on the website and send us an email. We'll put them up on that email list. They'll get every communication that our group does. And they're welcome to come and join us. We meet almost every Friday. And that's how people get involved. Everyone listening can right now write letters to the governor and to the congressional delegation. Just so you know, we've had positive letters from Senator Baucus so far. If we keep after that, then yes, to answer your question, John, maybe I'm a little naive, but I still believe in the role that residents and people can have in a decision at the federal level.
Yeah, make his re-election contingent on getting the Bitter Resort up. There you go. There's some power. He'll get that moved in a day.
With a gun range.
Right, yeah. Right. A skeet shooting range for the president to come over and visit.
Exactly.
So anyway, that website is the supportbitterrootresort.com.
Correct.
You can look it up that way. Or if you just go to our Facebook page, I posted it there, you can link to it from there.
Okay, go ahead, Bill.
We also have a Facebook page. You can join us on there, too, if you like. But Dick is exactly right. It's you know, contact your representatives, you know, our congressmen, and our senators, our governor.
And we have a brand-new congressman. He's eager to make a good impression.
Well, I would think so. And we're anxious for him to get involved and to see the opportunity. Just think about this. Over 4,000 jobs, increased access to the forest. It's just a win-win situation, and I can think of, as a longtime Montanan, I can't think of a better opportunity for us that fits our lifestyle here, using the natural resources in a positive fashion. We're not recycling batteries and some of the other insidious things, and you know, this opportunity is here. We need to get it to the next level of review within the Forest Service.
Got to get that first hurdle cleared up.
That first hurdle we have to get over and let the general public take a look at this,
and
which they did back in 1988. You know, the county put this on a ballot initiative, and overwhelmingly, this was approved by Missoula County back in 1988, and it was a joint ballot with the Forest Service. So for now, for them to say it doesn't fit the forest plan is slightly disingenuous, we think.
Let's get Tom on the line. Tom, you've been waiting the longest. Good morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. thanks for taking my call. I'm also a supporter of the project. And I guess the one point that I wanted to make is, you know, I'm also a conservationist, avid bow hunter, spend a lot of time in the field, fly fishing, etc. And the point I want to make is that, you know, while I also support expansion wilderness, at the same time, you have to have balance in the Forest Service. And that balance needs to consider wilderness areas, timber harvests, and high-density recreational use. And where the Forest Service is falling short is on the latter of those three. You know, they're just not providing the service to the populace that they need to in relation to high-density recreational use and partnering with the private community to go forward with these types of projects. And this is a project that would do that. There's no question. The economics are there. Just keep doing what you're doing, and I'll support you wholeheartedly. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it, gentlemen. Did you want to comment on Tom's statement?
Just a quick comment. Thanks, Tom. You mentioned balance. And again, the purpose of the forest planning process is to strike that balance between multi-use. And that we all understand that's been discussed and it's been debated. But Tom's point is very well taken. When the Lolo National Forest was preparing the plan, then-Governor Ted Swindon wrote a letter, it's in the Environmental Review record, criticizing the Forest Service at that time for not contemplating and envisioning the potential for the increase in non-resident tourism with the development of appropriate facilities. And the state of Montana has had a goal of developing non-resident tourism for years. Ted Swindon stated it very well. We encourage people. Governor Bullock is new. His director of the Department of Commerce, Meg O'Leary, was the marketing and sales director at Big Sky for 26 years.
Wow.
So we think she'll get it. So if we get these people online, let's keep that vision that Governor Swindon had and articulate that. Thanks.
Earlier on in the show, Peter was actually explaining that this is two different Forest Service agencies, right? You have Lolo and Bitterroot National Forest. Are they both kind of against the plan, or has one sided with you? Or can you kind of tell us a little bit of the politics behind things?
Well, you know, that's hard to say what goes on in the inner workings. I know they both have to agree to the project, but I don't know how to answer that, John.
The conspiratorial part of me says that they're meeting at Denny's, thinking, okay, I'll say yes, but you say no,
Denny's, and then next year you down say at
yes.
Denny's.
Yeah, and then next year you say yes, and I'll say no, and eventually they just get tired and go away.
Well, you know, I don't know how to respond to that.
It's a silly speculation.
We're all good. I mean, we're all citizens here of Montana, and Dick and I are, you know, grew up in Montana, and we appreciate what it has to offer. We feel that the Forest Service is made up of good people, but they are bound by, you know, the scrutiny of those naysayers, and we certainly face that in everything we do in Montana.
Okay, we're going to take a little break. We'll come right back here. We've got Al and Ann and John and your comments on Facebook. In studio, Bill Zader, Dick King, supporters of the Bitterroot Resort. I still haven't heard from anybody who thinks this is not a good idea. Want to hear from you, too. 721-1290. We'll be right back. The Forest Service folks say, just let it be. Sorry, I had to say it. We can have a little fun with this, can't we? Okay, John, go ahead. What you got?
Yeah, we've got some more Facebook posts. Susie says, there's not enough snow there for people to ski. All you have to do is take a look. You have a response?
Sure. New technology with snowmaking. In Italy, they ski at 2,000 feet above sea level. And they bring in all kinds of visitors to do that. So the runs she's seeing on private land will need snowmaking. However, with regard to snow, is that a lot of careful analysis and planning has gone into this in engineering.
Well, that's the first thing. You can have a ski resort, you got to have snow.
Right.
Yeah.
And these have proven, these studies, that we can have that the resort with the public if it gets a special use permit, can have some of the most reliable snow and a Thanksgiving opening anywhere in the nation. And given the fact that 10 million people get on an airplane and fly to the Rocky Mountain West to ski, we need our share of that in Montana, and the Bitter Resort would do that because it would have some of the most reliable snow anywhere in North America.
All right, let's get back to the phone and say good morning to Al. Al, thanks for holding. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead.
Yes, I was not paying very much attention when your project was on the front burner here, but what I'd like to know, Missoula has three county commissioners plus a mayor. How do each of these four think of your project? Are they for it or against it? I'd love you to name their names and tell us, are they for or against it?
Or do we know yet? Have they been approached? Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, in the past, they surely must have had some comment on it.
Missoula County probably doesn't have that much sway in it at all, right?
It's
in Valley County, right?
Site question to
it
John. If you've not looked at Mallard Fillmore in today's paper, you must. You'll get your day's laugh.
I haven't had a chance to do that. All right, well, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Good. Have we had a chance to talk with Missoula officials?
We have. And Missoula County has encouraged the resort to work with the Lolo community on the Lolo plan. And so the development plan for the resort would then be incorporated into the Lolo community plan. So they want to see that step first. That was a letter from Michelle Landquist. And also the resort has met with the mayor several times, who's indicated general support. But what we're trying to communicate today is that elected officials will respond more when people across the region stand up and communicate. And we still have to come back to the issue. It's a federal decision.
Yeah. Not only that, but my feverish little brain, my little yellow brain is working here, or my little gray cells. And I was just thinking, you know, if this resort takes place near Lolo and it begins to be built, one thing that Lolo has asked for, we want a new school. And I was thinking, if that development takes place and all this stuff begins to happen, that becomes much more of a possibility if this goes forward. Now, I'm not saying it's like a carrot or anything in front of the stick with the carrot, but what a wonderful side effect to having this development.
Well, you're right, Peter, and as an ancillary to that is that, you know, the Lolo is on a, you know, might say their own sewer system. It's maxed out right now. It's you know, can't put any more effluent back into the Bitterroot River that you all in Missoula like to drink out of, I might say.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So this resort, we could reuse the water out of the sewer system to refine the water for the golf courses and use on the resort. So it's a great project for the Lolo community.
Okay, go ahead, John.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna let's get back to the phone. Ann, you are on TalkBack. Hi.
Oh, good morning. Sorry.
That's okay, Ann. What's on your mind?
I am 1,000% for this. I am so sick of stuff trying to come in to this valley and environmentalist idiots saying, no, we don't need that. We don't need that. It's going to ruin the economy. Why don't they go jump in a volcano? Oh, I know, to spit them out.
Have you been able to talk to the Friends of Lolo Peak? That's the kind of counter-organization.
I haven't been able to find them yet.
Have you gentlemen met with the Friends of Lolo Peak?
No.
This is an organization I just got a post on our Facebook page that's kind of against you. It's trying to keep it open and clear. Well,
I think that was the organization I spoke of earlier.
Okay.
No, we've not heard from them. They're certainly welcome to join us. We'd like to know what their concerns are, because we think we've looked at every possible concern that you could have with this project.
Well, you can contact them at lolopeak2@gmail.com. And
there you go. See, we're like a bridge.
Consolidation.
We're bringing people together.
We're the radio hug you need every morning, right here on KGBO.
Come into the valley. I want it to come.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Yep.
Have a great day. All right. Let's get John is next. John, you're on TalkBack. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Excellent. What's on your mind?
Say, you know, I live next to that area. I'm looking across at it right now. The primary development on that area has already been done. The resort would be in the valley. The benefits to the economy in this area would be incredible, especially to our schools and our education, the taxes generated by all of this. And, you know, I don't understand. I'm a pilot, and I fly over that area. There's thousands of square miles to the Lolo National Forest. The Forest Service, you know, limits the access into it. So for those people who think they can walk in that area, that's a load of bull. But
well, I'm amazed you're allowed to fly over it, John.
In certain respects, you're not. You know, there's certain landing areas they have back in there, which, of course, you're not allowed to land in. And to be honest with you, I'm not too keen about that anyway. But my point is I mean, if I take off out of Stevensville or out of Hamilton and fly over to Lewiston, I mean, you're looking at about 130 miles of total wilderness. There's plenty of wilderness out there. I'm a hunter, and, you know, there's plenty to hunt in, but the majority, all of this would be built in the valley. How does that affect the national forest? I mean, they're talking about using a little bit of their land for ski area. It's already been developed, and the tax benefits would be incredible.
Yeah, John, you're exactly right. And you know, it nationally, over 95% of all the ski areas are on leased Forest Service land. It's the number one revenue stream for the Forest Service right now, other than government appropriations, is what skiers provide for the Forest Service. So economically, it's a win for the Forest Service too. And we think that, you know, here's an opportunity to reinvigorate the Forest Service on a national basis through Region 1 here, to show a new partnership with the private communities. And much like Secretary of Agriculture Vilsack said, that he wants to see more of this. So at the top of the food chain, you might say, the people at the top want to see this kind of development. It's just on this lower level where we're stalled right now.
Hey, listen, John, we're up against a break. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. All right, Catherine and Earl, and we have a line open for you. It's not going to be open very long, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Our guests, Bill Zader, Dick King, talking about the support for a Bitterroot Resort. Now, many of you probably thought from the newspaper articles and things we've heard the last couple of months that it was a dead issue. It is not a dead issue.
They're going to be meeting with the Forest Service next week?
Exactly. So we'll be right back with more in just a moment. See, he gets it. 721-1290. We're all here doing the twist. John's going, are you guys insane? Anyway, we are back on TalkBack.
I don't even question anymore. Yeah. I know the answer.
Yeah, 721-1290 is our number. Our guests in studio, Bill Zader and Dick King, and we have Catherine and Earl, but we have a Facebook comment first.
Well, yeah, this is actually a question from a caller that couldn't stay on, but I think it's an important question. There's a bankruptcy judgment of $22 million or something like that. Tell us how that plays into the whole plan.
Without trying to sound like an attorney, a foreclosure took place in February of 2011. Under Montana law, the borrower, the debtor, has a one-year right of redemption. So the property is in essence sold to MetLife a year ago. And the owner has a one-year right of redemption under Montana law. However, the lender can extend that. And what we're not first party to those negotiations, but it's real clear to us that if this project can move to that second level, that the lender will see progress and there will be ample interest in investment. If MetLife, holding the trump card, if they decide to say, okay, we're done, then there will be the investors who say, all right, the heck with this public stuff, we're just going to do a private resort. So again, that's the window of opportunity that we've been talking about. The public resort with the additional benefits that we've all discussed is in a little bit of a peril, like you point out, John, because of the foreclosure action. But negotiations are current and continuing, and there's a good relationship between the two parties.
You both brought up this private-public resort thing, and I had a question off-air earlier. You know, we had Snowball and Marshall at one time. Now we just kind of have Snowball. You know, what's to say that the same fate won't befall this new resort?
Well, the Forest Service documents indicate that this has the potential of being essentially the best skiing area in North America. The highest drop, the longest vertical runs, of any ski area in North America.
And we're talking, Big Mountain, all that, right?
Everything, yes. And so this, and we've envisioned as a four-season resort, one that the financing of most ski areas is done through real estate sales and houses being built and that infrastructure that carries skiers for 120 or 130 days a year. But we've got the ability here with this resort to have year-round operation. So we think that we've got a leg up over anybody in the United States right here.
Okay, let's get back to the phone. Catherine, thanks for holding. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, array of environmental groups that were against McClay and his ideas in the first place, are they still involved in the situation? And how are you going to, sidestep those actions that they have facilitated, if you will?
Well, Catherine, the environmental world, and both Dick and I are environmentalists. We have long history of involvement with, way back into the 60s when we were writing letters to get the Wilderness Act started. And we've been involved with Wildlands Institute here as a board member, and Boone and Crockett Club, a number of organizations. So we're wildlife people too, you might say. But there are some voices that have stepped forward early. But the people like the trout fishermen groups that are interested in the quality of water are for this because they can see what we're dumping into the river in Lolo, and that's not good, and the nitrates and whatnot. And so we can improve that habitat. Plus, the wildlife corridor that is envisioned in this project will go, instead of seeing these beautiful elk killed on Highway 93, underpasses and overpasses to let those migrating elk come from the river going back up to the west will be part of the project. So it's a very pro-environmental project.
So this is similar to the People's Highway that was constructed on the Salish Kootenai Reservation, with the
That's
different
exactly
types
right,
of accoutrements,
Peter.
Right?
Yeah, exactly right. Or some of those same accoutrements that made that highway possible is what we need in the Bitterroot. Instead of killing, 700 deer a year down there, let's think about the wildlife issues. And again, people involved with this project are not just businessmen and women. We have a host of a variety of folks that want to see this happen that have been strong supporters of the environment.
Is McClay going to be a part of this still? Or
yes, he will at this point be the developer for the project.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Appreciate your call. And Earl. Earl, you're up next. Thanks for calling TalkBack. Good morning.
Hey, thanks, Peter. Thanks to Dick and Bill for your time. What Bill just talked about, specifically, we need to understand this is at a 6,000-foot elevation, which is a critical little tidbit to make this, a world-class resort.
Now, Earl, if I could just jump in for just a second. Now, you and I know each other pretty well, and I know that you live a hop, skip, and a jump from that area. Now, as someone who lives there and would be very much affected by the development there, does that bother you at all?
Well, we're very much in favor of it. We think that the benefits far, far outweigh any possible negatives. Just the 4,000 job market, that's incredible for this area. I think if you study the Montana economics, the four divisions in Montana, this Missoula area is number four. It's the lowest rate in terms of economic development, and we just think that it would be great for the families in western Montana to have so much more potential, keeping our university graduates in the area, giving them year-round jobs. Those kinds of things make a lot of sense. One of the other things I was noting as I was listening was there seems to be a great amount of grassroots energy out there in favor of this project. And one of the things Dick has been involved with, I know, is soliciting for the Montana Tourism and Recreation Strategic Plan, which is a state-level plan, but it's a small step among the many big ones that need to be taken, and having the people in Montana soliciting their state representatives to get this project included in the Montana Tourism and Recreation Strategic Plan would be a great benefit and a step forward. So I would encourage all of the people listening and supporting to make calls and make sure that that happens. Dick can talk about that more.
Earl, thanks for your call.
Appreciate it.
We're going to come right back. We've got a quick break. Jeannie, we'll get you on here in a moment. We have two lines open if you've been trying to get through. 721-1290 is our number. You can also make your comment on our Facebook page. We'll be happy to share those as well. In studio, Bill Zader, Dick King. We're talking about the proposed Bitterroot Resort. Are you for, against? What do you think? Oh, I love this. This is great. 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. All right. Yeah, gentlemen, we have Bill Zader, we have Dick King, and let's get Jeannie has been waiting very patiently. Jeannie, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
Good morning, Peter. Hi. Hi, Dick and Bill. My question is, I also happen to live a hop, skip, and a jump from the proposed area, and you can see the snow on the ski runs. And doesn't the proposal, doesn't it go all the way to the top of Polo Peak, which I see has snow on it, until June most of the time, sometimes July? I mean, wouldn't there be enough snow?
Well, the answer to your question is there's ample snow.
Thank you.
The Bitterroot Resort has revised its plan from what was first submitted. Initially, they showed a lift going up Polo Peak. The revised plan takes that off for viewshed reasons.
Yeah, aesthetic purposes, right?
So most of the area is off of Carlton Ridge, which is the premier ski area that was recognized by the Forest Service in the 1960s.
Okay, great. And also, who do we contact at the Forest Service to give our approval or disapproval? Because I'm for this.
Well.
If I can answer that, you can call either the regional offices of either both the Bitterroot and the Lolo National Forest, because they're both involved. And if you want to write a letter to both of them or call both of them and say, hey, I'm Jeannie, I live X, I live right next to the Forest Service land, I'm for this. And the more people that do that, especially if you put it in writing, they can't, a phone call, they go, oh, I never got a call. But a letter is permanent.
Thank you so much.
I have some names for her.
Okay, go ahead.
Faye Kruger is the regional forester for Region 1, which includes Faye Kruger. That's K-R-U-E-G-E-R. So
not Freddy Kruger.
Faye Kruger.
Okay,
very good.
It's his wife.
Are you sure?
And
kidding.
So Region 1 includes both the Lolo and Bitterroot National Forests and other national forests. Region 1 is huge.
Okay.
Based here in Missoula. The supervisor of the Lolo National Forest is Deborah Austin, and the supervisor of the Bitterroot National Forest is Julie King.
Hmm. King, you don't have any sway with blood?
John, you and I don't have any sway.
What? I got you on the show, man.
Dick's adopted.
Well, thanks for doing that.
If we got all of you together, you'd be we three kings. But anyway.
There we go.
A lot of people have been wondering and waiting, and I'm glad that they're on, because I don't think a lot of people have known about how hard they're fighting, and I think this is a wonderful thing, and I'll be writing my letters today.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Thank you all.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so I've been reading through the Friends of Lolo Peak, some of the arguments they have against the plan, and one of the ones they bring up, and it might come up in your environmental review, is the rare hybrid species, this alpine larch tree that especially was set aside on this area of land. Do you happen to know about that, and would your project endanger it?
No, the Forest Service in the original plans envisioned that there would be the research area and the ski area that could coexist, and we're all for that. We've been involved with research organizations, and we understand that need. So no, that's the ski area is not a either or situation.
Okay.
And just to add to that, because that is a key point, John, I'm glad we brought it up. It's Management Area 6 was designated as a research natural area for the species you mentioned. In the forest plan, it is clearly black and white written. The designation of that research natural area will not preclude consideration of a ski development proposal.
So it was written into the original plan.
It's written into the – it will not preclude. So they can be compatible. And the resort has plan fully respects the need to do research.
Okay, let's get – oh, go ahead.
Nope, we're fine.
Let's get back to the phone, and let's see. Bill is next. Bill, thanks for holding. You're on TalkBack. Hi.
Hi. I also would like some names and numbers. I don't have computer access, so do we have other numbers that we can call, such as, I don't know, governors? And
Do you have a phone book?
I do.
Okay, if you look up the regional offices for the Lolo and Bitterroot National Forest, you'll have the numbers right there.
Okay, and also I have draft horses, so I'm interested very much in this. I could give a few rides.
Yeah.
Bill, I'm a horseman too, and I look forward to those days when we can ride up there. And I think of the opportunities for our handicapped and elderly people to take the gondola up there for the views and experience a part of the world that you know, you only see from the highway. And it's an outstanding opportunity for all of us people that like to get in the outdoors.
Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, thank you very much. You guys are doing a good job. Keep it up.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. And we have two lines open, by the way, if you're trying to get through. Judy, you're on TalkBack. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm one of those that's concerned about the larch stand at the top of the hill.
Okay.
It's the only one in the United States that is a natural stand. And I like the resort. I think it's awesome. And it certainly will help our whole valley, the whole state it will help. But I'm still very concerned about the stand. And I heard a little bit about it, but not enough. Can you explain that a little bit?
How do you plan on protecting that stand of larch?
Well, without trying to avoid the question, and thank you for the question, that is properly addressed in the environmental review process. However, the larch stand that's in the research area is the foresters, when they wrote the plan, indicated, in the forest plan, the ability to adjust the boundary to comply or to fit with a ski plan. So they envisioned that the two could be compatible, that you could have winter recreation and research on the larch, and both would continue. So that's the position. Now, the real details of how that's going to work out need to be addressed completely and fully, and that's the environmental review.
But you can't get to the environmental review right until you get past this first point.
So that's our position.
Okay.
Oh.
Let's move this to level 2 NEPA process and really get down to the details so, Judy, you can get that question answered by people who are truly experts, not me.
Yeah, right now, they're pushing not to put in a chairlift. They're pushing to have a review. Study done that's privately paid for. It doesn't seem like it would be that egregious to let them go ahead. But right now they're being blocked by the Forest Service.
That's our position. We're not pushing for the resort to go through today. We want to take it to the next level of environmental review.
Okay, tell you what, we got to take a break. Judy, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're going to get Paul and Mike, and we have one line open, and only about 8 minutes left in the show. We'll be right back.
Well, we really should make it clear.
721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. Thanks for joining us on TalkBack. You know who this is? John, come on. You can do it.
No.
You can
sorry.
Do it. The Beatles. Very good. Okay.
I have, just so the audience knows, I mouthed the answer. I'm feigning ignorance for your entertainment.
He did know. He did know. All right, let's get back to the phones because we don't have a whole lot of time left. Paul, thanks for holding. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead.
Good morning, John and Peter and Bill Zader. Got a big cowboy hat in your room, huh?
He's already tall enough. He didn't need a 10-gallon hat.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
25-gallon.
Hey, you know, I know the Montana Constitution pretty well by now, and I'm looking under Article 10, Section 11, Public Land Trust Disposition. Do you guys know anything about all that?
I guess I'd have to plead ignorance, Paul. I don't.
Okay, all lands of the state shall have been or may be granted by Congress or requiring a gift of grant or devise of any person or corporation shall be public lands of the state. I don't know how the National Forest Service or the forestry has any say-so on a constitutional basis for the state of Montana. Although BLM and the National Forest own more than half of the state, I've heard this more than once in conversation over the last couple of years, and this, I think there's another way of going around the National Forest. I really do.
Well, we're all ears, you might say, but we do have a time frame to move this project along, or else our opportunity will be lost. We need to get this moving quite quickly.
Well, what's the time frame?
Well, Bill, I think you gave me my wife Desiree an email, and we ought to just get together, sit down, and have lunch, and soon, because in regards to. I'll make sure she gives you an email so we can find a time frame. Someone needs to take on this issue,
yes.
The National Forest, and then go directly to, you know, Helena as opposed to going to the National Forest.
Okay, Paul, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Now, let's say that we're going to keep rocking on here. We got everybody wants to visit with you guys. Mike, you're on TalkBack. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll make it short. I don't really care what you do on your land, but when you start on my land, which belongs to all of us, I do care. And really, you can build all the golf courses you want, well, all the toilets you want, but stay the hell off of that piece of ground. I happen to like that piece of ground just the way it is, and I guarantee you will get sued up there on the three animals, and you should know what three animals that is going to be. So, and but one thing you said that really intrigued me, well, we will take care of our sewage here. We don't want to do what Lolo does. Tell me, are the people coming to your resort going to hold it until they get to your place so they don't poop in Lolo's sewer outfits? Come on, this is ridiculous. I just plain am absolutely, totally, 100% against this. I really don't care how many golf courses you build on your land. But stay off of mine, okay?
It would be a heck of a lie for a golf course up there. But anyway, okay, Mike, thanks. Yeah, thanks for the call. So I don't think there's any golf courses planned, are there? Maybe some trail rides or some, you know.
No, we you know, the plans are yet to be fleshed out completely. It's going to come after this environmental review, I think. But, I think we have heard there's going to be a golf course and reusing the water like they do around all across the country to reuse the water. And the golf courses would be built on private lands. The only thing we are asking, or the developer is asking, is the use of the Forest Service lands for the ski runs. That would be it. There would be no building on Forest Service lands.
Yeah, we have a question on Facebook. It's from Gloria. She says, where would you get the water to make the snow? Would you need water rights from Sleeman Creek or the Forest Service? Further, it would probably be another pause up burdening the surrounding properties, raising taxes, houses that stand empty, etc.
Again, the water issue can be addressed in a lot of detail in the environmental review.
Here we have 2 minutes. Go ahead.
With public participation. But because they have the 3,000 acres of private land, they have water rights. So the location of that McClay Ranch to the proposed special use permit area allows ample water for snowmaking, which you didn't have in the other Mill Creek area. So this proposal has plenty of snow. What the snowbanking allows you to do, that will replenish the aquifer. And so there's a real benefit to people in the whole area from development of the resort from an environmental standpoint when it comes to quality of groundwater.
Okay, tell you what, we don't have enough time to get Larry. Larry, I'm so sorry. We have exactly 1 minute left in the show. So, gentlemen, give us some contact information if folks want to get in touch with you or volunteer or what.
Just go to our website, www.supportbitterresort.com. You can send a message, and we'll check all the messages. We'll add anybody to the list who wants to be a part of it, and that would include Mike.
Okay.
Because we want a dialogue on this, because we know not everyone's going to agree. We don't expect that. All we want to do is get this to the environmental review process to where these questions can be fully answered with public participation.
Yeah. And that is the big key. That's the public review part. They can send in their information there.
Because until you get that permission to do that, there will be no public review. And right. So we can write all the letters we want.
Call all the people you want. But they don't take it into consideration unless it's part of the environmental review.
Exactly. So we got to clear that hurdle. Okay, John, what's coming up tomorrow?
We'll be speaking with Carl Graham from the Montana Policy Institute. He's been following the legislature. So.
All right, good deal. So we'll do that. And again, thank you for all of your calls this morning. We apologize for those we couldn't get on. Thank you for all your Facebook comments. Thanks to Bill and Dick for being here. here and share the information. Also, thanks to Jordan and Mike for being here earlier, talking about the camp.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyway, we'll see you guys tomorrow at 6. Have a great day.